This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
On a Friday, hour number two, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. As always, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can.
Oy.
The Boston Celtics blowing leads left and right. Miami Heat up 2-0 in the Eastern Conference Finals. We got game one of the Western Conference Finals tonight. The resilient Nuggets do take on the Los Angeles Lakers as LeBron James tries to win another NBA championship. And he's going to try to get to another NBA final. So a whole lot cooking in the association. So right now we welcome in my favorite NBA analyst, and that is a 2008 NBA champion with the Boston Celtics, all over ESPN, also does a bunch of stuff with radio.com, and that's Kendrick Perkins. Big Perk, what's going on, brother?
Zach, what's happening? What's going on? Ready for this action for tonight? That's what I'm waiting on.
Yeah, give me a thought real quickly. I want to get your opinions on what's going on with the Celtics, but what do the Nuggets have to do to make this a series?
I mean, I'm sorry to tell you, but this is not going to be a series at all. I have the Lakers winning in five, if not sweeping Denver. The Lakers are hitting their championship peak right now. Their pedigree is kicking in at the right time. LeBron James is playing like the LeBron of the Miami days, and Anthony Davis is on a mission. And let's not talk about playoff Rondo. He has took his game to another level alongside with Danny Green, Caldwell Pope. They're clicking on all cylinders, and the Nuggets haven't faced a team like this.
So you think the Lakers much better than what the Clippers were right before them?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They are peaking right now. They're peaking at the right time. Danny Green are knocking down shots. Alex Caruso is bringing that tenacity off the bench. He's playing exceptionally well. Kyle Kuzma is actually playing defense right now. The Lakers are one unit. They're playing extremely well at a high level on both ends of the floor. They are the best team in basketball.
Kendrick Perkins here with us. And before the bubble did start, I was all over the Lakers. I thought Milwaukee would at least be here, Big Perk. But I know you were all over the Miami Heat. What did you see in Miami that most didn't?
Well, they got a deep squad. They don't have a lot of household names, but they have a lot of guys that can play. And by the way, they do have two all-stars in Jimmy Butler, who I believe is the best closer in the Eastern Conference. And then you have Bam, who I think is the best center in the Eastern Conference. Bam is a unique player, a guy that can handle the ball. He's a great playmaker. He finishes well around the rim, nice 15-footer. And on the defensive end, he switched 1-5. And then you add guys like Jay Crowder, Goran Dragic, who's been so underrated in these playoffs. Nobody's really been showing him love, averaging 21 points, 50% shooting from the field, 40 from the three. And then you add in Kelly Olynyk, who has some big moments. Then you talk about the Splash Brothers, Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson. Tyler Hero is not your typical rookie. What he brings to the table, I thought he was just a scorer, but he is an underrated rebounder, and he's an underrated playmaker. He does it all, and I love this Miami team. And by the way, they have the best coach in basketball right now, Eric Spoelstra.
You think Spoelstra's the best coach in the sport? Why is that?
Why is it not? I mean, just think about it. He had the Boston Celtics so confused. He had the world confused. He threw out a zone that no one never saw before in the NBA, where the bigs were up front and the guards and the wings were on the back. We never seen nothing like it. And it messed up everyone's rhythm. Jason Tatum didn't know what to do. Kemba didn't know what to do. Hell, Brad Stevens didn't even know what to do. It was something that just came out of halftime and on the spur of the moment. That's what you call in-game adjustments.
Kendrick Perkins here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. Perk, when we get to the Celtics, you had that little incident in the locker room last night between Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown. I get there's going to be frustration when you blow leads of 14 points in game one and then 17 in game two. I know you've been all over Miami, but with the Celtics now being down 0-2, if you had to give me a percentage, how much of a shot do you give them to come on back and win this series?
I get about a 20%. I just don't see them beat Miami 4 out of 5 times. Will they win the game in this series? Absolutely. They may force 6, but I don't see this. I don't give the Celtics really a high percentage chance of even winning this series. I think this series belongs to the Miami Heat.
How disappointed have you been, though, with just what we've seen the last two games from Boston? Because at times they look like the better team, and then, poof, it evaporates right away, and the Heat end up walking off the court with the victories.
Well, at times they look like the better NBA 2K.
I think we lost Perk. So let's see if we get him back up. Oh, yeah, go ahead, Kendrick. We lost you there for a second. I think we got you back.
I'm sorry. Yeah, people like to get caught up in the cuteness that Boston play with, the step backs, the crossovers, and all that. But they don't see the game. Like, being up 15 points or 17 points in the NBA game is nothing. Teams walk that down all the time. You know, the Celtics' biggest problem is when they start hitting threes early, they fall in love with threes. And those shots that they were hitting to get them the lead, they weren't going to be able to sustain that for 48 minutes. Those are contested three-pointers and two-point shots. Those are low-percentage shots, and the Miami Heat just kept chipping away. And sooner or later, they were saying, hey, we down 15, let's cut it to 10. All of a sudden, we down 10, let's cut it to 5. Next thing you know, Miami Heat got a one-point lead.
How do you view Brad Stevens as a coach right now?
He's a good coach, but – you know, we still got to hold his feet to the fire. He has more than enough talent. He cannot get swept in this series, I tell you that much. And I love Brad. I think, you know, he's one of the young studs in the game today. But he's going to have to bring it going against a championship coach like Eric Spoelstra.
Kendrick Perkins here with us for a few more minutes on the Zach Gelb Show. So, Perk, you're telling me you like the Lakers and the Heat. How about that storyline? You have LeBron going up against Spoelstra when LeBron didn't want Spoelstra. And then you got Pat Riley, who I think it's safe to say that LeBron and Pat don't see eye to eye anymore. That would be a fun storyline.
It will be epic. I think it's must-see TV. You got Jimmy Butler, who matches their culture. You got Bron, who got a point to prove to the Miami Heat. Miami Heat have a point to prove to LeBron. I think the ratings will be through the roof. I think it will be very, very intense. The animosity will be there. It will be must-see TV. I can't wait for it because that's what we're going to see.
How many games do you think that would go? I know you're taking the Lakers, but how many?
Huh?
How many games would you take the Lakers in?
What, for Denver or for the finals?
For the finals.
I think it goes 6 or 7 games. I'm not going to disrespect those goons from Dade County like this. It goes 6 or 7 games.
I love when you say that on ESPN. Kendrick Perkins here with us on the show. All right, let me get to the Clippers because that was so disappointing. You're up 3-1. You showed no fight in game 5 and 6 when you had the lead. In game 7, they just laid down in that second half. How did that happen? The Nuggets come on back against the Clippers. You tell me.
Well, the Clippers are the true definition of front runners. When everything is going well, they're hooting, howling, and all of a sudden, when the Nuggets start making a run, and they got their confidence, and the game got close, and Kawhi couldn't do it, you couldn't turn to Paul George, you couldn't turn to Patrick Beverley. Lou Will was worried about lemon pepper wings, so you couldn't turn to him. And nobody, I said this before, the only person that had real playoff experience on that team, championship experience, was Kawhi Leonard. Everybody else who was doing all the barking, I know Paul George went to Eastern Conference Finals and all that, but he never had this type of pressure, the pressure of being a contender, a championship or bust type team. And when the pressure got tight, the Nuggets was playing freely. Jamal Murray is a stud. And look, they came out victorious.
I also look at Kawhi, and I love Kawhi Leonard, and he's been such a great player in the league. But you look at the first two championships he won, the Spurs, he wasn't expected to be the guy. With the Raptors, I know he was the guy, but no one in going into that season thought he was going to win it all, really. What did that tell you about Kawhi in Game 7 when in the moment where he is the guy and they were expected to win it all, he goes, what, 6-22 from the field and did not have a good game?
Well, he was tired. I mean, hell, he had been carrying the Clippers the whole time. Think about it. Due to the Dallas series, Kawhi had to do a lot. He had to guard Luka and average, what, 35, 10, and 6? And then in these games against Denver, look, in Game 5 that they lost, he had 36, 8, and 7 and had to guard Jamal Murray. He went over there thinking, hey, I got PG and some other guys. I should have help on the scoring side of it. So to me, it looked like Kawhi was fatigued.
And it's one thing to lose that series, and it's one thing for Paul George to not play well. What he said after the game, Kendrick Perkins, how this wasn't championship or bust, and that's what they thought internally. I've never heard more BS in my life.
I mean, that was just the excuse. And Paul George is getting to the point where when he started talking, I just really mute the TV or put earphones in, because every time it's something different with him. It's the excuse after excuse after excuse. Every single year is always, we're going to do this. But before the season, they having pep rallies. They saying it's our time. It's a new sheriff in town and all this and that. Then all of a sudden, it wasn't a championship or bust. Like, come on, PG, man. You can't have it both ways.
Hey, he's not playoff P. He's playoff Pinocchio after what he told us the other night. I still can't believe that. All right, Big Perk. I know you like that one. Before we let you run, I got a few more things for you. When we get to Doc, I know you played for Doc Rivers. You won a championship with him. There's a difference from being good to great. We've seen greatness from Doc before. Do you still think Doc Rivers is a great coach in this league?
I do. Look, Doc, one thing about it, Doc can't go out there and defend for you. You got to have pride. And if you watch that Nuggets series, they picked on Lou Will the entire series. And they left guys open. Guys had open shots. Think about it. It was nothing wrong with the offense. It's not like they couldn't get shots off. Paul George hit the side of the backboard. That's what happens in the crunch time. I always say this. When you build up a lead and you get up by like 16 points, it's on the players to have that kill mentality to go ahead and put the game away. If you blow that lead and lose the game, that's not on the coach. Now, if the game was tight and it was a possession by possession, timeout after timeout, and it came down to the wire and they lost, then you could point the finger at the coach. But those type of situations, no, that's just that mentality of the players.
So it wouldn't even cross your mind to get rid of Doc and fire him?
You can't fire him right now. If they don't deliver next year, I think he'll have a one-way ticket out of L.A., but you got to give him another year, because I strongly believe this one right here, he could take about 20% of it, because maybe he should have benched Lou Will, but I think majority of this went on the players.
And when you look at Kawhi and Paul George, they could opt out after next season. If they don't win the title next year, do you think this marriage in L.A. maybe could be short-lived?
Absolutely. That's why they both signed two-year deals. If they don't win it, I possibly could see Kawhi leaving. I could see a lot of things happening. Hell, we might see some shaking up this offseason. You never know. Lawrence Frank is not scared. He's an aggressive type dude, GM. He's always been that. So it'll be interesting to see, I tell you that much.
What would you look for there? You're not thinking Kawhi or Paul George won't be on that team next year, right? You just think elsewhere, probably.
They'll be there. But I'm thinking somebody's going to offer Montrezl Harrell a big payday. Mm-hmm. It's going to be hard for the Clippers to keep him.
Last one for Kendrick Perkins. All right, Big Perk. Giannis Antetokounmpo, he wins the MVP. Did you have any problem with that?
I had a lot of problems with that because every year the MVP shifts, the goalpost shifts. I don't know what's the criteria for MVP no more. I'm not saying Giannis didn't have a good year. I'm not saying that. But I just remember a time when Steve Nash averaged 15-10, and he had a nice squad around him, and Kobe Bryant had Smush Parker and Kwame Brown and led the Lakers to the playoffs and averaged almost 35 points a game and clearly was the most valuable player and didn't get it because they said that Steve Nash was more valuable and that you took him off the Suns. Well, if you take LeBron James, no disrespect to Anthony Davis because he's a generational talent, but if you take LeBron James off the Lakers, what would the Lakers be in the Western Conference? They would be in the playoffs, but they wouldn't be sitting at the number one spot, not in the tough Western Conference.
Well, what happens if you take Giannis off the Bucks? Do you think that's still a playoff team?
They will be a top five team.
Really? You think they'd be a top five team?
In the East, they would.
Wow. So where would you put them in the pecking order? So you got Toronto. You have obviously the Celtics. You got Miami, and then you think they're right after there.
To be told, their offense runs better without Giannis.
Wow. So what happens? Let me ask you this then: for Giannis's decision, what do you think? Uh-huh. What do you think he ends up doing? Do you think he'll stay next year? After next year?
Well, it's going to be hard for him to stay, and here's why. Okay, in order for Giannis to stay, he's saying that he wants the owners to spend. Nobody is going to Milwaukee, I'm sorry. So who are you going to get in the free agency market? Nobody. Steph Curry is not walking through the door. Damian Lillard is not going there. So I just think the chances on Milwaukee keeping Giannis is very low.
Let me ask you this, Perkins. Would the Bucks without Giannis be better than the Sixers, in your opinion?
They would be better because you would be able to feature Chris Middleton and Brooke Lopez more.
Wow. All right. Well, we appreciate the time as always. Is your pup all right? Your dog doing well? I always love your dog.
All right.
Appreciate it. There's Kendrick Perkins. Kendrick Perkins, always great when he joins us. I guess we don't get an update on his dog. You see that photo I posted on Twitter there? Connor Green, go check that out on CBS Sports Radio. It's Perkins and his dog. We were talking about this before you came on, before we came back. So when I was looking at it, and we were talking about people that are large human beings that make me look small, like Perkins came in studio before COVID, and I look like an absolute grape next to Perk. Shaq came in studio, and I look like an absolute grape next to Shaquille O'Neal. You see that dog with Kendrick Perkins on Twitter at CBS Sports Radio at Zach Gelb? It makes Big Perk look small.
That dog might be taller than me.
I don't really think the dog is taller than you. I think it weighs more than you. How much you weigh? Buck 50?
I weigh about 160.
Yeah, that dog's more than 160 pounds. How old do you think that dog is?
I'd say 5 years old.
It's like a year or 2 years old, he said last time.
Oh, my God.
I think the dog may have just turned 2 years old. Maybe three at most. How about those opinions, though, from Kendrick Perkins? You look at it. If you take Giannis off the Bucks, Raptors would be better. Celtics would be better. Heat would be better. Sixers would be better. That's four teams. Now, next year, the Nets will be better. Pacers? I got to think the Pacers would be better than the Bucks without Giannis Antetokounmpo. That was a strong take from Kendrick Perkins. He kind of left me speechless there for a second. I think I muttered under my breath, wow. Hey, but Perk has been all over the Miami Heat. And he thinks they should keep Doc Rivers. I don't have a problem keeping Doc Rivers. I think you keep Doc Rivers for next year because you don't know where that thing's going to go.
You don't know where that thing's going to go with those guys under contract for only one more season. So I think you owe it to that team to keep Doc around. And then if he does not win next year, he's not able to keep Kawhi and also Paul George, then I think you start over. So Doc will be back next year. Let's take a break. We'll come on back when we do return. That's why I love Kendrick Perkins. You may not agree with him, but he always gives you an interesting and strong take. We do the news brief next.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
My mind's still blown from that Kendrick Perkins take. That if you take Giannis off the Bucks, they're still a top five team in the East. So if we think about this for next year one more time. Raptors, even if they lose Fred VanVleet, you got Siakam, you got Lowry. I would say the Raptors would be better than the Bucks. So that's one. Heat, they're just getting started. That would be another team. Boston would be another team. The Nets would be another team. That's four. And even though I don't love Philadelphia, if you give me Philly with Simmons and Embiid, and then the Bucks just have Chris Middleton, there's five right there. So Raptors, Celtics, Heat, Sixers, Nets. Five teams right there. And not only that, I would even say the Bucks without Giannis Antetokounmpo, I would put the Pacers in front of them too. So there's six teams just for starters. That was some take. That won't surprise me if that makes the rounds in the next 24 hours. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, as always, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico's offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Rick in Philadelphia. Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, what's up, man? Yeah, Perkins is entertaining, but that's a ridiculous take to have that without Giannis, the Bucks would be better. I honestly don't think they would be better than Orlando. In fact, I don't think they would make the playoffs. Giannis, to me, I don't care about what happened in the playoffs. It's a regular season award. I don't know why these commentators keep confusing the two. They have a finals MVP, which is the crown that goes to the crown champion. So if you go throughout this regular season, he was the best player.
I agree.
If you look at his PER, it's the greatest in the history of the NBA. And he was the Defensive Player of the Year award. So without Giannis, I don't know what he's talking about. The Bucks don't even make the playoffs, in my opinion. Middleton is a really good player, but he's not a frontline star player.
He's not a franchise-changing player. He's not the face of the franchise.
And last comment, but Giannis is not leaving Milwaukee. I think he's made it clear he's a small-town guy. He doesn't believe in super teams, and he wants to build his own legacy and championship in Milwaukee. And the ownership, pretty much with that meeting the other day, pretty much guaranteed that's going to happen. So I think he's going to end up staying. And all these pundits and analysts think he's bolting. He doesn't believe in super teams. He's a European guy. The mentality is different. So I just don't see it ever happening. He loves where he's staying, and he loves the system he's in. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, Rick, appreciate it. We'll see on Giannis. I would like to see Giannis stay. I would like to see this era of dynamic duos continue. I can't fully be bought in and believe that Giannis is 100% staying for his entire career in Milwaukee. You know, here's the big thing this offseason. Does he sign that extension, or does he say, I'm going to wait, because even though he makes more money, but would I wait to then take the Supermax in the year after just so I could kind of control and make sure that the Bucks stay true to their word? And, hey, just because Giannis says he's staying doesn't mean that he will stay. And I get what you could say, what he's all about and all that. This was also someone that I saw today. We'll play this audio later because I got to go off on this later on the show. This is also the same guy that earlier today when he was on with Ernie Johnson said, oh, don't call me the MVP until I win a championship. And then less than 15 minutes after this interview, at least 15 minutes when I saw it on Twitter, I see he post an Instagram of him reading a newspaper that says Giannis Antetokounmpo back-to-back MVP award winner. So you go from, all right, don't call me the MVP, to then basically going on social media. And I get it. You should celebrate the accomplishment as Giannis wins his second MVP award. And he joins also, let me tell you this, Hakeem Olajuwon and Michael Jordan as the only players to win the MVP and Defensive Player of the Year awards in the same season. So there's something to celebrate. You also got to read the room a little bit more, though, and be cognizant of maybe you shouldn't celebrate this MVP as much as you did possibly the first one. because you didn't even get to the conference finals this year, in a year where you were expected to be a shoo-in in the NBA finals. So Giannis can tell you he's going to stay until he puts the ink to the paper. There is a reason for a little bit of concern there. If you had to ask me right now, I would say that he does stay, but I would not make it to be as this is 100% without certainty that he is going to stay. All right, let's get to the news brief. Let's roll.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Let's start things off with the NFL. Last night we saw week two commence. Little Cincinnati Bengals going up against the Cleveland Browns. Browns won the football game, led off their rushing attack from Nick Chubb and also Kareem Hunt. However, when you see Cincinnati, their wide receivers didn't really step up. Their offensive line did nothing, and Joe Burrow threw the football 61 times, didn't have an interception, had two fumbles, but he did throw three touchdowns. You throw the football 61 times in your second game with no preseason, basically no offseason, and you throw no interceptions. That tells me a lot. Even though there was a lot of praise going around for Joe Burrow last night, Joe Burrow said, "I don't want to hear any of it. We can't accept losing."
This might be the only time in my sporting career that I've lost two games in a row. Doesn't feel very good. I know guys in there are hurting. We're going to come back to work tomorrow and try to get this thing right. You know, losing is unacceptable to me, to everybody in there, to Coach Taylor, to everybody in this organization. So we're just going to have to get it fixed.
I love, love, love Joe Burrow. Now it's time for the Bengals to show him the love back. Get him an offensive line. Mixon's got to start running the football better. You got to start getting the ball out of the backfield too, throwing it to him, and you need some more talent there. Bengals, there's no doubt they have the quarterback. Will they get the most out of the quarterback? That's the question. It's how they build the football team over the next 2 years. Boston, they choked again. Up 14 in game one, up 17 in game two. Do they win the game? Survey says. After the game, Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown got into it. Here's Brad Stevens on that altercation.
Mark screaming, come out swearing. It sounded like things were being thrown. Can you just walk us through what happened in there?
Guys were emotional after a hard game, hard loss.
Things were emotional. Curse words were flying. Chairs may have been flying. Who knows? Bottom line, I don't think that's that big of a deal. You want to see emotion like that when a team's expected to go to the finals and you lose two games and at times you were the better team and you had no answer on how to hold that lead. This series comes down to game three. If Boston wins game three, they have some life. If they don't, the series is over. It's tough to see Miami, though, drop four games in this series with after how the first two did go. We go from Brad Stevens. We stay on the hardwood. And we now hear from Jamal Murray. Nuggets and Lakers tonight, game one. I like the Lakers in six. Here's Jamal Murray on the Nuggets chemistry as of late.
We built this team from the ground up, and we've been, you know, through the trenches, and it's, well, the hard work's paying off. That's all I can say. Everybody counts us out. And it's just fun to silence everybody. We love it. And that's what makes it so special. When we play with no pressure, and we go out there and just play free and trust each other, and it shows in our play, and it shows in our energy, and how we talk, and how we celebrate, and what we're down, how we react, and how we take action.
So Lakers, they lost both game one so far. Portland and then the Clippers. They lose game one to the Clippers, actually. Oh, no, not the Clippers. The Rockets, they lost game one to. I was getting confused with the Mavericks and the Clippers for a second, but that was actually when Kristaps Porzingis got kicked out of the game and the Mavericks should have won game one. But the Lakers, they've lost both game one so far. Portland lost game one, and then they lost game one to the Rockets. Didn't matter in either of those series. I would like to see Denver win game one tonight. I don't think they do, but I would like to see, because then it would create some more belief and some more praise towards the Denver Nuggets. Let's go to Doug Peterson. Doug Peterson and the Eagles, they were in that top two picks of the draft. Goff did go one, and then you had Carson Wentz go two. Eagles, Rams coming up Sunday at Lincoln Financial Field. Here is the Eagles HC reflecting on the draft process where Wentz did go after Jared Goff.
Obviously, both quarterbacks were at the top of the list. You know, we had done our due diligence on both quarterbacks, on both players, and we liked Goff as well. We were prepared, I think, in that situation to be pleased with either one.
Here's what I remember covering that at the time. I'll never forget this, that I was interviewing Boomer Esiason, And Boomer Esiason, remember, was college roommates with Frank Reich, and the two are very close. And at the time, it wasn't known who was going to be the first pick, who was going to be the second pick. And that was after the Eagles did trade up to get the second pick. They made two trades that year, one with Miami and then one with Cleveland, as Cleveland passed up on Carson Wentz and possibly drafted him. But that trade was made before the draft. So the question was, who goes one, who goes two? And Boomer, I remember telling me at the time, thought that the Eagles, if they could have the number one pick, they would go Goff over Carson Wentz. So did the Eagles actually want Jared Goff, or was that just Boomer giving his opinion on it? That's something that I always do remember from that conversation. I think for the Eagles side of it, even though Goff did get to a Super Bowl, you're happier that you have Carson Wentz. I think Carson Wentz is a better quarterback. Even with that being said, I have a feeling the Rams are going to go to 2-0 and the Eagles are going to fall to 0-2 this upcoming weekend. Next stop on the news brief, we head out to Seattle. Patriots already on their way to Seattle. Here is Patriots quarterback Cam Newton on how the Pats have to execute across the board against a very good team in Seattle.
We know we're going in and play a tough team, tough defense, me specifically. And it's going to take all three phases to play great, football together.
Two things we're going to learn about the Pats this weekend. We're going to find out what the answers are in their front seven and how they try to stay in their lanes up against Russell Wilson, especially with losing so many linebackers that they did. Hightower out this year because of COVID-19 concerns. Jamie Collins no longer there. Kyle Van Noy no longer there. So how will that front seven look? And then for the Pats offense, even though Seattle doesn't have a great defense, they do have Jamal Adams, so they improved this offseason, and they have a good secondary. Will Cam throw the ball a little bit more, or do they try to eat the clock and really command the time of possession, which I think they should do? And can Cam replicate what he did from a week ago up against Miami? So those are things to look for there. Finally, last one. Here is Dak Prescott, 0-1 of the Dallas Cowboys after a disappointing fourth quarter for Dallas on Sunday night against the Rams. Dak Prescott says this team's working hard to close out games.
Everybody's got to embrace that, from coaches to players. I'm going to allow that to become who we are and know that we're going to go down there and we're going to score. We're going to get the points that are needed. So we're just going to continue to practice the right way, build confidence, and get over that hump and start a new trend, I should say.
I don't want to hear any more excuses or any more from the Cowboys on what they plan to do. Just going out there and do it. I know your offensive line isn't what it once was. It's still good. I know you got some injuries in week one. You lose the tight end. You lose Leighton Van Der Esch. When you line up, though, with Zeke, Dak, Gallup, Cooper, and Lamb, you got to win games. You just got to win games. You got to take down that Rams team, which did not have a great offense on Sunday night. And for this upcoming week, you go up against what is a good offense in the Falcons, but you should have your way with the Falcons defense. No more excuses for Dallas. You should win the NFC East this year. We'll see if you get it done. Well, come on back. A report came out today about Doug Peterson. I don't believe this nonsense for a second. We'll talk about it on the other side. First up, though, with the latest CBS Sports Radio update, we get to Bob Uecker.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
What are you trying to turn up on a Friday, Connor Green? I like this. If COVID wasn't going on, you know, I'd be ready to fist pump right now, Jersey Shore style, in like some sort of club. Man, bump this a little bit. This is like the stage at night where you're at the club a little bit too long. It's like 1:30 in the morning, and someone just ordered another bottle of tequila, and you go, enough with the drinking. And then you just sit down, and you see all the lights, and you hear all the music, and you go, just get me out of the club. That's what I think of when I hear this song. This Sunday, though, it's an NFL on CBS doubleheader, with the early games highlighted by an NFC matchup between the Giants and Bears, along with the Broncos squaring off with the Steelers. Then in game two, you're killing me here with this music. When I go to a read here and I got this music still after what I just said, it's going to be tough to get through the read. All right, hold on. Let me meditate here for a second. Deep breath. You can do this, Zach. You can do it. You can do it all night long. So with the Broncos squaring off with the Steelers, then in game two, Patrick Mahomes and defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs square off against the Chargers. Or you may have the Ravens taking on the Texans. It all starts with JB and the guys on the NFL Today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, Sunday on CBS. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio, also coming up on Sunday. You got a 1-0 LA Rams team going up against a 0-1 Philadelphia Eagles team. As you may have heard by now, the Philadelphia Eagles had a 17-0 lead up against the Washington football team, and they lost. They allowed 27 unanswered points. Chase Young was dominant. Matt Ioannidis was dominant. How about that Washington football team defense? So, Eagles start off the year 0-1. You have a toss-up game here in game number two. I personally think that the Rams are going to win, even though Doug Peterson has owned Sean McVay the first two times they have squared off against one another. I have a feeling with the problems the Eagles have up front, Rams are going to feast. I don't love this Rams defense, and that's why the Dallas loss is so disappointing, because Dallas should have been able to take care of that Rams defense. I just have a feeling the Rams defense is going to do enough. Carson, even though I like him, I think he makes a mistake in the game because he's going to be forced to throw the football quickly when he's under pressure. He's going to be taking some hits. And I think Jared Goff, even though I don't love him, I think he just finds a way to do enough in this game. So I do like the Eagles to lose up against the Rams. But I was reading this report today from Tony Pauline, and this was a report that Tony had, and I'm still trying to make sense of it because I don't really get what the report is. So this is via Bleeding Green Nation. Quote, and this is what Tony had to say. There are some rumblings from people inside the league who I spoke with earlier this week who feel that Doug Peterson may have reached his limit. Doug Peterson may be stressed out a little bit. Basically, it's not going to get any better for Doug. That's what the source told Tony. Now, Tony, as BGN says, did stress that this was not an opinion he shares, nor one he's rooting for, as he likes Peterson as a coach and a person. So here's the thing. When you say you don't think it's going to get better, that's what people think about Doug Peterson, and he may be stressed out a little bit. We'll get to the stress part in just a second. When you don't think it's going to get better, does that mean you think it's going to be an absolute disaster, or he'll just not win another Super Bowl? That's what I wonder, because you could still be a good coach and not win another Super Bowl again. Because the last 2 years, I would not say have been failures for the Eagles. Carson Wentz got hurt again. They got to the second round of the playoffs. They defeated the Bears. Then they lost to the Saints, a game they could have won if Alshon Jeffrey would have caught the football. Ball went right off his hand, and the Saints did pick off the football. And then last year, they weren't great. Carson carried that team. They were decimated with injuries, and Who knows what would have happened up against Seattle? I thought Seattle was going to win that game if Carson didn't get knocked out of the game early because of the hit that Jadeveon Clowney put on him. So to say that people around the league, first off, who cares what people around the league say? I should only care what Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman think. And I would say there's more pressure on Howie than Doug, because Howie has been in the organization a whole lot longer than Doug Peterson has been in their roles that they're currently in. So to say that they've reached their limit with Doug and that the Eagles are going to struggle here on out and that he may have reached his limit, like, I just don't get that. I really don't. Once again, it says there are some rumblings from people inside the league who I spoke with earlier this week who feel Doug Peterson may have reached his limit. And then it goes on to say it's not going to get any better for Doug Peterson. Doug Peterson may be stressed out a little bit. Well, who doesn't have some stress right now in 2020? And Doug also had COVID-19. So I think everyone's stressed right now. Just knowing Doug and being around Doug Peterson, I'll give you an insight. I'll give you a story. I've told this story before. I probably wasn't really supposed to share it, but since I already shared it once, I'll share it again. Doug does an off-the-record, I don't know if he still does this. When I was there, he did an off-the-record chat with the media, and they stopped it after, at least for that season, because then when you got further on in the postseason, more people occurred. You don't know who you could trust compared to the local media that was there. So with Doug Peterson, he did an off-the-record chat that Friday before the Falcons game, that first playoff game in that Super Bowl run where the Falcons couldn't close the game late when they had a bunch of shots late down in the left side of the end zone. So before that, Doug off-the-record goes, guys, who thinks the Eagles are winning this week? He asked us that. Imagine Belichick ever doing that. But that's what Doug did. He goes, guys, who do you think is winning this week? And he was convinced. He goes, I don't see what you guys are seeing. I think maybe one person in the room picked the Eagles. I remember, and I already made my pick earlier in the week, and I said all week long, Falcons are going to win, Falcons are going to win, and I did not pick against the Eagles after that. I picked them to beat the Vikings and picked them to beat my New England Patriots. But I'll never forget that after that Friday when I left, I called up a friend of mine, Danny, who's a huge Eagles fan, and I said, even though I picked the Falcons to win this week after just hearing Doug Peterson with the conviction that he just spoke, you're gonna win this game this week. And think about it. That was a guy that had a Super Bowl team that year, had the MVP of the league at the time in Carson Wentz. Would have won the MVP that year if he didn't get hurt. And he wasn't stressed there. So how could he be more stressed from in that moment or what he's also gone through the last 2 years, losing Carson again, still finding a way to win a playoff game. And then last year, Carson finally gets through a full season healthy, and then he gets hurt gets knocked out of the game with a concussion. So I'm supposed to think that Doug Peterson is stressed out now and he's going to want to run away from the Eagles because they're off to an 0-1 start? Even if it gets to 0-2, even if the Eagles are terrible this year, I don't think he even contemplate moving on from Doug. After, 4 years, 7-9 first year, Super Bowl champions, playoff team the next year, playoff team the next year. If you want to talk about moving on from Doug Peterson, or maybe that even being a thought, that won't happen until he misses the playoffs 2 straight years in a row. He gets 1 year missing the playoffs after you've been to the playoffs for 3 straight years and won the franchise its first ever Super Bowl. The Eagles do have a tough schedule this year, and that's why I did not like them. I didn't love the roster. Offensive line older, offensive line hurt. Don't love the weapons around Carson. And defensively, they have a good, they have a good line. I like Slay in the secondary. Maddox is an okay football player. I don't love Jalen Mills. The linebackers are horrendous. You look at that schedule, though, it's brutal. And that's why losing to Washington is a big time blunder. Because you had Washington, which you lost to. Then you get the Rams. You get Cincinnati after that. You should beat Cincinnati. Then you're at San Francisco, at Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Giants, Cowboys, bye, at Giants, at Cleveland, Seattle, at Green Bay, New Orleans, at Arizona, Cowboys again, and you finish it up with Washington. Other than the games against Washington, which you just lost to last week, and the games against the Giants and the Cincinnati game, you don't have a game that you go, definitely the Eagles should win that game. And you never know with the Giants. You could split. Just look what they did with Washington. At best they could do now is split. So is Doug stressed out? I think there's a difference being stressed and then stressed out to the max. Everyone's stressed. Do I expect the pressure to get to Doug? No, I don't, because he's proven us before. When he sees adversity, he finds a way to go right through it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.